This VPR News podcast is made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Please make a contribution at vpr.net. Thanks.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Steve Zandon for Jane Lindholm. Three Dartmouth researchers have pooled their collective knowledge of brain science, computer science, and math and come up with a way to mathematically analyze a painting. This technique uses statistical analysis and pattern recognition to help determine the authenticity of a piece of art. Dan Rockmore is chair of the math department at Dartmouth College and one of the researchers involved in this project, which began after a Peter Bruegel show at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which piqued his interest. He talked to Jane Lindholm in our Colchester studios.
A friend of mine who was the curator of the Bruegel show at the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art asked me if I wanted to come take a look at the show on an off day, on a day at which the Met was closed. The exhibit had been pretty swamped, and it's pretty hard to look at fine drawing when there are, 5,000 people packed into a tiny room. And so she was kind enough to give me a tour of the show and tell me about it. And one of the major components of the show was exactly this issue of authenticity for Bruegel's work. In 1900 or so, there were about 100 what people would call secure or authentic Bruegel drawings, and by about the year 2000, this number of 100 had been whittled down to about 50 or 60 for various reasons, people making decisions at various times or new evidence coming to light. When she was explaining to me how people reasoned about the drawings, because on the one hand, they do materials analysis often, for example, to try to determine authenticity. What kind of paper, what kind of ink are characteristic of the artist. They also just look at stylistic sorts of hints in the way in which the artist, makes a tree or how densely their line work is when they make a mountain or a bush or weeds. And as she was explaining to me some of these visual characteristics, it occurred to me that this was probably something that you could try to do on the computer since there's a long body of work in the field of image processing trying to do pattern recognition and pattern extraction. And so it seemed to me like it'd be a totally fun way to combine a deep love and interest of mine in art with my sort of day job, if you like, as mathematician and computer scientist. So it was really by chance in the sense that, Nadine was a friend and she was curating this show. And the fact is that the couple times that we've had ideas over the years, I have this data set, although art historians hate when you call drawings a data set. I've had this data set in hand, and so it's the first thing we turn to. So Dan, James, and I are currently in the process of talking to other art historians and curators and conservators about other bodies of work, including the drawings of Rembrandt is one that we're going to take on soon.
You just mentioned some of the other tools that are used to determine if a painting or a drawing is authentic. And there are many tools in the arsenal of somebody who's trying to find out whether a piece of art is an authentic piece of art. And you don't want this to take the place of all that visual work and knowledge and deep understanding of the artwork that experts have. This is just sort of another arrow in the quiver of somebody.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to say it. At the end of the day, the truth is that if you don't have what's called a secure provenance for a work of art, meaning that basically you know every place this painting or drawing has been ever since it was quote-unquote born, you know who's owned it, you know who's restored it, you know every exhibition it's ever been viewed at, and that's a totally secure chain of ownership. And if you have such a document and such records, then nobody could ever argue with you about the authenticity of the work that you have. On the other hand, if there are any gaps at all in that history, then you're in a position of basically trying to make a court case. So there are all sorts of expert witnesses, some of them technical expert witnesses, like people who do the materials kind of analysis, that you might see on CSI or something for that matter. Or, these days, who might actually do something like the digital sort of analysis that we do. So that's just a sort of one bag of evidence. And then another bag of evidence really does come from the experts who know so much about the working style and the period, even visual things about the work that the things that we're doing may not get at. If you're the person who's thinking about buying the work or a person or a museum or something, you have to weigh these things and then make your own decision. It certainly isn't the case that somebody would digitize a painting, send it to us, we'd then put it through the machine, so to speak, and put a stamp of approval on it and say, this is a Bruegel. And anyway, ultimately, all we can say is something about statistical similarity. Is this thing likely, given the data we have about the images that Bruegel creates, is this thing a likely candidate for a Bruegel image? So it's never, oh yes, this is or it isn't. It's really about statistical similarity, and that can only be done with things that are known to have been generated by Bruegel.
That's right. You have to have one that you know to be authentic to.
Well, one or many. I would say certainly more than one. So that's the other thing. Somebody writes to me and says, in my attic, the family's had a painting for 20 years that we think is, a Kandinsky. Can you tell me if it's a Kandinsky? And, the fact is I don't actually have on my computer a comparison set, to start with, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of things. But ultimately, the only thing I could ever say is that it's a lot like the ones I have, or it's not like those.
How useful and how utilized do you think this is going to be now in the art world?
These are early days in this kind of research. And I should also take a step back and say that, while the authenticity question is sort of the sexiest question, everybody wants to know, is this painting really by so-and-so? Because if it is, it's worth $20 million. You can imagine the drum roll.
Mm-hmm.
But most scientific analysis of paintings is less about authenticity than it is about trying to create a bigger picture of the working style of the artist, of the time at which the artist worked, questions about the decision-making process that the artist underwent, whether it was conscious or unconscious in creating the kind of work that they created. The materials say a lot about what an artist wants to do or what an artist is capable of doing because of their social class or their means at that time. I'd like to believe that we're getting at some other aspect of the working style. And so I actually think that when we move it out of the authenticity category, it becomes less of a flashpoint mm-hmm. for people. And it becomes what it should be, which is really another tool of analysis of the creative work of an individual. And like any new tool, sort of has its quote-unquote early adopters, it has its naysayers, has people on the fence. But we've had very productive and interesting conversations with lots of different museums. Again, most notably, the Met and the New York Museum of Modern Art. Both of those places have pretty big science departments, as it turns out. There's a lot of science that goes on in the back room of a museum. And I've had great reception from both the scientists and the curators there, and happily a fair amount of access when it makes sense. But on the other hand, there are also people who think it's total nonsense. But that's okay. That's
you
all right.
You can live with that?
Well, I don't take it personally. I mean, generally speaking, I can say as somebody who works in applied mathematics, entering somebody else's domain, you have to be respectful of the domain knowledge. Just because you know how to wield a computer doesn't mean that you know how better to analyze the phenomenon that this person or these people have been living with their entire lives. There's a lot that you should know and a lot that you need to know in order to apply any computational tool sensibly. So, it's really just the way good applied mathematics, I think, works. You go in, you talk to people, you listen, you try some stuff, you fail a lot. and then every once in a while, you gain a, glimmer of understanding, and then hopefully you do something productive.
Well, Professor Rockmore, thank you so much for talking to us and helping to explain this this method.
Dartmouth researchers Daniel Graham, James M. Hughes, and Dan Rockmore collaboratively developed this quantitative art authentication method.